Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. The title of today's show is Camping 101. It's for rookies and novices, but think about this. As usual, experts can always pick up a tip or two along the way. And I do have a special guest today from one of the experts from Ramsey Outdoor is Teresa Hamill. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. This is very exciting and I'm glad to be doing this. I've been working in the outdoor industry for 13 years now. So any kind of questions for beginners or even people looking for tips, I hope that I can answer and help out. So thank you so much for having me.
I am sure, and I'm looking forward to the show. So Teresa, I'm gonna ask you a number of questions that a rookie is probably going through their mind, and novices going through their mind saying, okay, I'd like to go camping, but how do I get started? So let's start with my first question I have for you is, how do you find a campground to camp at?
Sure. So, you know, you could use the internet, you could use BookSource, you could go to your local bookstore or Barnes and Nobles. I like to use, if you're going to go for like a state campground, go to your state site. So I live in New Jersey. I would go to the New Jersey government site and find a state park. If you're looking for national parks, you can go to the national park site. And there's wonderful campgrounds. You can even find a KOA. If you Google search KOA, you know, kind of camp on arrival in my area, I mean, you could find tons of them all over the place. They could be close to you. They could be far away. I mean, you can even camp in your backyard. So nothing's stopping you from camping in your backyard.
Well, you know what? And I do mean this. That is actually a great place to do a trial run before you ever go out and camp, especially if you have young children, to get them used to what it's going to be like being outdoors. Because sometimes, you know, you're outside with your children maybe for a short time, midway through the night, they want to go back in bed. So it's a good way. And as you mentioned, the KOAs, I remember growing up, we would KOA camp all across the country. That's sort of where we learned about America, was through KOA.
Yeah, they're great. You can find them all over the place. And some of them have like miniature golf courses. Some of them have pools. So yeah, you can really make the adventure how you want it to be. So it's great.
No, I, as you mentioned about the golf courses and pools, they weren't around when I was growing up. So okay. They've added quite a number of amenities as time has gone on.
Yeah,
so, here it is. We've selected a campsite, wherever it is, someplace USA. Now, in terms of food, should I pack a cooler? And like, if so, what types of food are, we'll call them camping foods?
Okay. Good camping foods. You have your, you know, your basics like hot dogs, hamburgers, stuff like that. I like to bring corn on the cob. So you can do corn on the cob. Aluminum foil when cooking outdoors is going to be your best friend. So you can put, you know, corn on the cob, wrap it in aluminum foil, put some butter on there, salt and pepper, let it sit, you know, near the fire. Or if you have a grill you're working with, corn on the cob is great. Foods, oatmeal is great. Pancakes. You can make it easier or harder on you, however you want. Whatever kind of meal you want to do, there's always a way to cook it outside. So I like, you know, trail mix, beef jerky is good. And everyone kind of has their own trail mix. I feel like some people do M&Ms. Some people do peanuts, little pieces of chocolate. You could kind of work on that and try to see if you can make your own special trail mix recipe. But, you know, something that you can eat quickly is good. Especially if you're going to be doing hiking, but whatever kind of food you bring, you want to make sure that it has, you know, enough calories to fuel whatever adventure you're going to be doing. So if you're going to be going on a long hike, maybe you like to bring peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but you don't want to be hungry right in the middle of it. So yeah, I like to sometimes bring peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It's classic.
Classic, by the way, classic is good. And you mentioned what I think the key term is energy and figuring out, well, what are your activities? Because some people are, you know, laid back and that's okay. But some people want to become that serious hiker, or they may be a serious hiker now getting into camping. So their energy needs will be different. And I also think about it this way is try not to cook foods that you don't typically cook, you know, because it's your first time out there. To me, that becomes very important. And I always talk about doing your cooking away from your actual site of where you are, where your tents are. I always say never bring food inside a tent. Again, having done grizzly bear research, I refer to food in a tent as you've just become a burrito for a bear. Of which we're not looking to do. And when you mentioned aluminum foil, and for me, that's taking a potato, throwing it right on the hot coal fires. And I have questions for you about fires later on. And that's one of my faves too out there. So, hey, food and me, we're personal friends. Everywhere we go. So now you mentioned about the food. So I know I'm going to have a cooler. Well, what type of cookware should I bring then? And what's the best way really to be cooking out there on that campsite?
Okay, so there are a lot of ways. And like I said, you can make it easy, or you can, you know, go all the way and you can bring the two burner stove. We sell them at Ramsey Outdoor. They work on propane. Some of them occasionally will work on butane. You have the two burner stove, you have a grill. You can sometimes use, if the campground provides it on their fire ring, they have a grill plate, or you can bring a grill plate, a cover to go over the grill. Or you can be simple and you can just get a stick, whittle away the front of it or the top of it, you know, stick on your hot dog and roast it right in the flame. So as far as cooking goes, you have a lot of different options. I'd recommend, like you said, testing out a recipe first. Or in your backyard, testing out the recipe that you want to cook. If you want to bring a griddle and make pancakes in the morning, you know, try it before. You got to also think about cleaning up a mess that you make and any kind of smellables. So like you said, making sure when you cook, it's away from where you're sleeping and your camp and your tent site, because you don't want to bring animals in the area, and making sure whatever you bring, you can clean appropriately.
And you mentioned about Ramsey Outdoor, and I'm sure they also sell cookware there as well.
Absolutely. We have, if you want to make coffee outside, we have percolators, we have stoves, we have backpacking stoves, we have two burner stoves. I like to use, actually, I've used percolators to make coffee, but I've also used, I have a little backpacking stove called the Jet Boil System. And that makes making coffee in the morning so easy, because it boils your water like within minutes. So if you're a coffee drinker, that's a good way to go. We have utensils, we have sporks, we have spatulas, cooking boards, you name it. If you want to cook outside, you come to our cooking section and we'll hook you up.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things, and this is as I was formulating the questions and I was going over prior to today, and I thought about also in terms of storing your food so it's bear safe. Some campgrounds actually have bear boxes where you can put your food inside. And some people will put it in their coolers and lock it in their car. But with a bear bag, and we always talk about going 10 feet up, 4 feet out, and 4 feet down, and hanging your food there. So, again, in the East, black bears, and they've become pretty resilient at figuring out, and smart, figuring out how to get towards these food sources. So I think being bear safe is one. So I just share that extra little tip too. You have any other thoughts on safety with food?
Safety with food, basically any kind of, we call them smellables. We say that we refer to them as smellables, anything that's a smellable. So people, sometimes they don't think about it. Like even if like, you know, right before you go camping, your shampoo is a vanilla cherry scent. Like you, it may not smell so much to you, but might to animals. So maybe kind of resist any kind of smellable. Don't brush your teeth near your tent. Make sure, like I said, you clean up well after you cook. Store your food. A lot of campgrounds now want you to put coolers and, you know, any kind of like smellables, keep them in your car, and also make sure that they can't be seen, because sometimes animals can they know what a cooler looks like now.
It's crazy. Yes, they do.
So as far as bear bags go, we do sell little kits at Ramsey Outdoor to help you swing your bear bag over with a rope. It comes with rope, carabiners to like kind of get it up over the tree. You can fill the bag with some rocks to kind of give it weight and throw it up into the tree. Sometimes it's a little difficult getting the hang of it. We also sell bear kegs, which is basically like a canister. This is probably not that big. I don't know if you can see it the way I'm sitting. And it's bear proof, kind of like the bear box, but you put your food in there. Sometimes in certain circumstances, you can bury them. Like if it's snowing, you can bury them under the snow, but basically a bear can't get into this canister. I know the Adirondacks, that's a must. So if you're hiking in the Adirondacks and you have food, or if you're backpacking, you need to have these canisters. And we sell them at Ramsey Outdoors, so you know where to get them.
And as you're, again, and I'm listening, and the neat thing is when I have a guest, I always learn a little bit, and I like the term smellables. And when I was doing the grizzly bear research, because again, now we're not just talking about black bears, we're talking about grizzly bears and black bears. And the clothes that we would cook in would always go in our bear bag and hang them up. And they were just clothes just to cook in, because you didn't want to take that smellable, I like your term, into our tent. Because once again, you become the burrito with that smell. So just an extra little tip there. So we've covered a lot about cooking. So now let's talk about tents. What's a good tent to go camping, and what's basically size and brands? If you could share that with me, please.
Okay, so depending on how many people in your group or your family that's going camping with you, you're going to want the appropriate size tent. So, and this is what I tell my customers when they come in all the time. They say, "How do we know what big tent to get? What size to get?" When they list on tents how many people they'll fit, they usually will say 4 person or 5 person. Sometimes it's a multi-room, but they'll list it in how many people it can fit in it. So for 4 person tent, to me, would be more like a 3 person roomy tent. So when it says 5 person, I always tend to drop it down one, because you're going to have maybe an air mattress, you're going to have your stuff in there. So it's going to reduce the space inside of your tent just a little bit more. So keep that in mind when you're picking out a tent. If it says it's going to fit 6 people, maybe it'll only fit 5. And then what if you're going to bring your dogs? Because some campsites are dog friendly. So maybe you want to drop it down a little bit, just to give yourself more room for the stuff that you bring. Some tents will fit air mattresses pretty well. Others, you're kind of squeezing.
I think that's a great tip, because you think about this is many times, especially when you're a rookie, sometimes you bring a little bit extra because you're just trying to learn to figure out what to bring. And if you're bringing too much, that drop down, as you mentioned, about from a 4 to a 3, I think that's a great rule of thumb. So if you were going to select a brand, are there specific brands that you would recommend?
Okay, as far as ease of setup, now I'd always recommend set up the tent before you go on your camping trip. Maybe do a practice run. Same with your cooking. Always do a practice run so you don't get there in the dark and you're sitting there 2 hours in and you can't put up your tent. Set up your tent first. I'd say Coleman is a great brand for family camping tents. Eureka is another brand that we sell that's really great. Some have multi-rooms to them. Some it's just a big area. They'll all come with a rain fly. Unless it says it on the tent, that does not include in rain fly. And a rain fly is a cover that goes over your tent. Some rain flies will cover from the ground all the way up to the top of the tent, and others will only cover partial, and you might have like zippers that cover the windows. So also keep that in mind when you're choosing a tent. If you want something that, if the weather, you're looking at the weather and there might be a lot of rain, maybe get a rain fly that has a full covered, or a tent that has a full covered rain fly instead of partial coverage.
And as you mentioned that, it does make sense, because there are certain areas in the country where obviously it rains more. You're going out to the Northwest. Well, then you better prepare. You might be a rookie or a novice, but you still better prepare for that rain. And speaking about that rain fly, that's an important thing. And then you mentioned which, you know, in our previous discussion here is you may as well learn how to set that tent up in your backyard. So let's do the trial run there, because there's been many nights where you get there and it is now dark and you're trying to set that tent up. And if you've never done it before, it's a little bit difficult at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So, Teresa, how do you choose? Let's go to sleeping bags. Like, what do I do size-wise, temperature-wise? Tell me a little bit about sleeping bags.
Okay. So you definitely have to keep in mind when choosing sleeping bags, first of all, what the temperature is going to be at night, because you're going to be sleeping in at night, I'm assuming. So what that temperature is going to drop down to. And when you consider that, you also have to think about what is going to be under you. So because the sleeping bag only works so far, what is very important and what basically makes you cold is the ground or whatever you're sleeping on. So if you have nothing between you and the sleeping bag, then you're going to be very cold. So I definitely recommend a sleeping bag in combination with something to sleep on. So whether that's an air mattress or some type of foam padding, that's basically what's going to keep you real warm at night. Sleeping bags definitely going to help you, but what you're sleeping on. So everyone thinks like, oh, we got sleeping bags. And I remember the first time my dad took us camping, we were sleeping on the ground with just sleeping bags. And we got so cold that we had to sleep in the car in the middle of the night because we were frozen. And he didn't think about it. And we were young, so we didn't think about it. But you definitely want to have something under you, even if it's, more if you bring more blankets, but the more you have under you, the warmer that you're going to be.
Well, and you described that, and that's insulation. And yes, insulation. A lot of the small air mattresses, some of them are self-inflating. I even found the self-inflating ones, you still need to add a little bit more air into it, or just a piece of roll-up foam that is there. And yes, you are correct. It could be a real cold back at night, or a real comfortable sleep. And I also, as we go along, it depends on where you're sleeping and camp, because if you're camping in Florida, well, your nighttime temperature may not be down near, if you're up in definitely up in New Hampshire. Yeah. So things to think about with that. So now here's a question, and I'm sure you get asked this question often, and I always do. So you're going camping for the first time. Well, how do I shower and where is the restrooms? So if you can talk a little bit about that, please.
Okay. So some campsites, so when you book your campsite, you want to make sure that you take a look. If they have a website, look at the website or ask, call the office and ask to see if they have provide a restroom for you. Sometimes it's a privy. So it's basically kind of like an outhouse. It is what it is. It's basically an outhouse. You go in, you do your thing, and then you get out. Other times the campsites will provide a full bathroom, sometimes even showers. So you just kind of want to take a look at the campground that you're booking and see what facility they provide you with.
No, and that's a great point, is checking before you go. Because I've been to somewhere, you're going, man, it's a great bathroom. I mean, they're completely updated. You know, some are brick and mortar buildings. I don't want to say first rate amenities because that would be in my house, but something that's pretty close to it. So by checking the reviews of different campgrounds, and you should be doing this, you know, again, some people may be going from here to Florida and camping along the way. So you should make sure that you've made the reservation before, book the reservation is to check to see, as you mentioned, what are they offering there? And that to me is very important because, hey, a good shower, nothing like it after, you had a great day hiking, kayaking, whatever you're doing, and definitely a nice clean restroom to wherever you're going. So now one of the next questions I get asked often, and I'm sure you do as well, How do you get a campfire going? Like, what's your little tips?
Okay, so I like to use a product that we sell at Ramsey. It actually, it's a little disc. It's called a fire disc, and the brand Coughlin's makes it. Coughlin's makes a lot of great products that are inexpensive. I feel like every camper has a little bit of Coughlin's in their quiver somewhere. So it's called the fire disc, and it's basically looks like compressed like wood chips, I guess you could say, but it looks like a hamburger. It's a little disc, and you only need a little bit, even less than a half, to get the fire going. But you use that as your tinder to start the fire. Maybe if you have little small pieces of dry wood that you can collect somewhere around your camp, or you can find birch bark is great. If you can find some bark, if you collect it while you're hiking, put it in a little Ziploc bag and bring it with you while you're camping, because that goes up quick too. But, you know, make your little tinder. And then some people use the log cabin style to stack the wood around that, or other people use a teepee style. So there are other ways too, but those are just two of the ones that I know. And teepee style is the wood just looks like a teepee. So you put that around your tinder. And then either matches or a lighter, light the center of it, and then it should take off pretty well. You just gotta keep.
I happen to be a Lincoln log guy. As I do that. And one of the other little tips I learned along the way is, because we always talk about only collecting what's down wood, right. So we don't want to go harming any of the trees, and plus green wood doesn't burn well to begin with anyway, and one of the problems you run into is that people are using these campsites night after night. And many times there's not available, even just looking for kindling wood, there's not that much that's there. And I recommend, if you're only going for a night or two, even to bring, if you're in a car camp, you know, bringing something with you that's dry. So collecting some of the wood around your house that's dry, that's down, and bringing that along with just a little tip that I often refer to people. Now, what about, and again, there are many people who just don't like insects. I happen to like every bug in the world, so it doesn't matter. But okay, what about insects? Like, what do you use to keep mosquitoes, ticks away, and just bugs in general?
Okay, so there are a lot of things that you can use that, you know, so there's bug spray. I guess I could put it into like three different branches. So there's bug spray that you can spray on your skin, and you have like more natural formulas of bug spray. So lemon eucalyptus, citronella, and we sell those brands. Natropel is a brand that we sell that has more natural based. Some people use essential oils. I used to use when we were younger, it was Avon's Skin So Soft.
Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
And I'm pretty sure it had a citronella smell to it, but it's stuff you can spray on your skin. There's also, it's a chemical, but it's DEET. And that DEET is highly effective. We sell the Benz brand DEET. You can also get Off. Off is a brand that has DEET, it has DEET in it. But it is definitely highly effective if you're going to any place that's tropical or has a lot of mosquitoes that might have carry diseases, Zika virus, malaria and stuff like that. You probably want to go for a DEET. But just keep in mind that it can be a little bit caustic if you spill a lot of it, or a lot of it gets on like your hat or some of your clothes that's synthetic, or polyesters, nylons, and anything like that. It can make little bits of holes in it. I know anglers don't really like a lot of DEET because of the fishing line. It can get on the line. So if you'd rather do something natural, Natropel is a great brand. We also sell a bug treatment or insect repellent that you use to treat your clothing and your gear. And that stuff is actually, it's a permethrin. So I've been told, I don't know if I'm mixing it up in my head, that it comes from either a marigold or chrysanthemum plant. But the permethrin it's formulated from the plant, and you put it in your clothing, you can spray it on, and it's even effective through washing. So you can pre-treat your clothing and your gear. You can do a ball cap, you can do your socks, you know, and then before you go out on your adventures outdoors, it keeps the bugs away. We even have blankets that are already treated with the stuff, and we have clothing that are already treated. So Ex Officio brand's a good brand that it's impregnated in the fabric, so you don't have to worry about it. So we have stuff to go on your skin, stuff to treat your clothing. And then if you'd even like, we have stuff kind of like the, you know, tiki torches that you see around that have like an oil in it that burns. We have, it's called a thermocell unit, and it works really well actually. And it works in like a 10 by 10 area. So maybe like figure like underneath like a canopy, a family style canopy. It works all around that area to clear the area of flying insects, mosquitoes, and flies. And it works on a little cartridge. It's a butane cartridge that goes into the unit. The unit kind of looks like a remote control. You put it in the bottom of the unit, and that butane heats up this little blue pad that produces a repellent into the air, and it clears the area of bugs. And that thing works really well. I definitely,
I like your ideas there. And because I happen to be also an organic guy, I tend to go more for the natural products. And again, many people do. I just have a concern, you know, if you're going to use DEET, as you mentioned, is making sure that you follow the directions that go along with that product. I also recommend at the end of the night doing a tick check, making sure, because I had many years ago, a group of students with a forester were heading into the woods, and they were spraying everything possible, because these were city kids, never having gone out into the wild, and they're spraying all this stuff all over them. And the forester said, whoa. He says, you just polluted my woods. He's with a smile on his face. And then he goes, so why'd you put it on there? And one kid goes, ticks. He goes, oh, so you mean the one that's crawling up your pants right now that you just sprayed? So we still need to be aware that, you know, even though we're going to protect ourselves, we want to make sure that we're safe. And absolutely. Then the other side for me is when I was doing my wolf research, it was out in Minnesota, and Minnesota has a saying on their license plates, it's land of 10,000 lakes, but I tend to call it land of 10,000 blood-sucking mosquitoes. Because since you're in water everywhere, it's wetlands, bogs, swamps, fens, wherever you go, so there's mosquitoes there. So just making sure that you're safe and protecting yourself in a safe manner. So because you want the experience to be great, you know, your camp. And then I also, because I'm going back to your word smellables, and I always joke, but you would understand this. I would always say, I want to camp with a female because the insects are going near them because they use shampoos that have that great, so they're going to attract insects. The deodorants that a female, and again, and it's not being chauvinistic, but it's the flowery scents. And now going back to what you said, so I want to use that word smellables. It is before you go camping, you might want to find things, fragrances or fragrance-free deodorants, fragrance-free shampoos, so you're not attracting those insects.
Yeah. Sometimes it's funny because I'll be hiking in the woods, and then all of a sudden I pass another hiker and they have a lot of cologne or they have a lot of perfume on. I'm thinking like, all right, you stay in front of me, far in front of me.
No, it's good if they're close to you because the insects are going right on them.
Yeah, that's true.
So you want to be close to them. You want to become friends with them. But in a serious sense, it does, you're exemplifying the point about smellables. And changing gears now, like, how do you deal with bad weather when you go camping?
Okay, so I tell this to all of our customers when they're like, oh, what happens if it rains? You can't control it. You really can't. You can check the weather as much as you like, but sometimes it just rains. And you know what? You can bring the rain jacket, you can bring, you can redo the waterproofing on your rain fly, but sometimes you just get wet, and that's a part of nature and being in nature. You can kind of limit, I guess you could say limit or reduce the amount of chances that you could to get wet by, you know, like I said, bringing more of a rain tarp, being more prepared, really. Bring your rain jacket. Bring an extra pair of socks, dry socks, or an extra, you know, clean set of clothing so that you can get into it if you do happen to get wet. Bring a deck of cards, because if you're stuck in your tent, you know, you want to, you know, have a fun activity to do in your tent, or bring a good book. There are ways that you could be outside in weather that's not so great and still have a great time if you're prepared and you just, you know, kind of take it for what it is.
No, I like that, because it's what's going to happen, because sometimes you're a family trip or something, you've planned weeks or months in advance. So obviously we're not predicting the weather at that point. And I would say with young children, bringing the board games and things like that, and don't bring them out unless there is some bad weather, but it gives you the opportunity to do something. And again, if you're just either for a rookie or a novice, I would not recommend solo camping, but if you're with a friend or something and you both brought a good book, hanging out. And I'd also say this, I have actually on rainy days had some of my favorite hikes I've ever done. Cause if you have the proper rain gear on, you can get out there. And like you said, get back into the tent and a dry set of clothes. You're just, it's like, how many people will you see outside hiking on a rainy day? And the answer is next to none. And that's what makes it for me so peaceful. So I just share that with you as well. And now I guess it goes along with this. Well, how do you deal with animals when you are camping?
Okay, well, we keep talking about smellables, so I'll use that word again. You just got to be prepared and know that, you know, you're going into their world. So you have to respect them. You have to respect their area. We're sharing it. You know, when we go camping, we're sharing the forest or the woods with them. So as much as, like, you know, you wouldn't want to play loud music and, you know, disturb your neighbors, we don't want to disturb them either. So basically, keep your campsite clean. Make sure you don't cook any food or have any smellables near where you're sleeping. I actually like to, I like to camp with my dog, and some campgrounds allow it, some don't, some aren't pet friendly, but you just have to kind of find the ones that are, if you like to bring your pets. But he's a great watchdog. So if something's in the, you know, in the bushes or hears a log snap, he might like peek his head up a little to alert me. So I feel a little safer having him. But if you don't have pets, basically keep your campsite clean. Know that they are out there. I like to keep it clean, be prepared, and all smellables away.
I think what you just said, and you started with the respect, because again, we're now going to their home. This is their habitat. I think that is, the respect is very important. And I always describe it this way: wild animals go away from you, not to you. So if you're keeping, as you mentioned, that campsite clean, well, they're not coming around your campsite. They're in a site next to you, the people that didn't clean up so well. And for me, because we film in the wild, and besides filming, I've always got a camera on me with a great zoom, and I want to capture photos of these wild animals. And that is respecting their space, the distance between, which is very important. Now, I've been out and did a lot of my research right outside of Yellowstone. So in the summertime, I would call Yellowstone my summer playland. Like when I was done doing some of the research, I'd run in with my fly rod, or, you know, just hiking through there. And you'd see people that are just too close to an animal and not respecting their space. And that's when problems occur. So going back to your initial comment is finding the respect, because you're entering into their home, their habitat, and then going from there, and then you will have an enjoyable camping experience. So my last question that I have happens to be, well, what kind of activities would you do for fun when you go camping?
Oh, so I'll just start with the ones that I like, I suppose.
Go ahead.
Like Labor Day weekend, we went camping at High Point State Park. And we hiked, We went kayaking. So paddling. I like to stand up paddleboard. I like to go kayaking. I've done a little bit of canoeing. You can fish. I am not a big angler, but you can fish. Fishing, hiking. Like I said, some campgrounds have like miniature golf or whatever, or swimming. You can swim if the weather's appropriate. You can go geocaching. A lot of campsites have geocaches in the area. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's a big thing now. It's like scavenger hunt kind of in the woods. You could do geocaching. You could do hiking, paddling. You can play horseshoes if you want to. We sell small little like backyard games that you could set up, bocce ball. You could stargaze at night, or you can just sit there in your hammock if you set up a hammock and relax and read a book. The possibilities are really endless. You make it what you want to.
Yeah, and as you're describing all that, and the thoughts that go into my mind is, make sure that you're doing an activity that you're fit enough to do. Because some people might say, well, we're going to hike, and then we're going to kayak, and then we're gonna, and then they're going to be dead for the next 2 days. So making sure, and in most of the places, and you mentioned High Point State Park, and that's where I grew up, where our family farm was up near High Point growing up. So I have hiked every inch of High Point State Park, Stokes State Park. I have lived in.
My church says the Stokes, Friends of Stokes on it. I love Stokes.
There you go. And when you mentioned about the fishing, especially if you're going to a different state, you need to make sure that you know the fishing laws that are there. And you can, you know, they will even give you a one-day pass, costs a couple bucks, but having that pass versus, or license versus not having it and getting $100 or $200 fine is worth it, to make sure you know that, you know, if you're going to be there for a couple of days, you don't know which days you're going to fish. Some offer 2 or 3 day licenses, some offer a week license. I definitely would say that. All the different activities you were saying, I'm smiling because I'm going, yeah, I do that one. Oh, that one. Oh, that one. And those are great. And then the one thing that we always do, and we prep people, even if they're children, it's called campfire showtime. So at nighttime around the campfire, you must perform. And it could be as simple as, again, and everything is in good natured fun. It could be telling jokes. Because you really don't have, see, I don't care if you bring a joke book, and some of them are they even sell books that the title of the book's called the corny joke book. And you could just sit there. But when you've read enough of them, everyone is laughing hysterically just at that. Or you might want to act out something, whatever it is, but it's campfire showtime and everyone must perform from the youngest to the oldest. And just adds a little bit of fun to, like, you just had the greatest day in the world. You're sitting around the campfire. Maybe somebody's telling a couple stories. One of my friends, Jim Bruchak, Native American storyteller. I tell a number of Native American tales, but the showtime is really, the showtime is the fun time. I'll say it that way.
Great. Yeah. I love ghost stories. If you're, you know, not into that, you know, jokes are great too. Stories you can memorize. I think that would be really awesome too. You know, memorize something recite a poem.
Yes. Yeah.
That sounds
absolutely
great.
Well, you know what, Teresa, I think in this podcast, anyone, because if you're an expert, I'm sure you picked up a tip along the way here, or you learned something that Ramsey Outdoors sells that you didn't even know that they had. And if you live at a distance from one of the Ramsey Outdoor stores, you can always order online. I know that's a great way to pick up some of your gear that way. And if you have a question, and I think this is important, like yourself, someone can walk in and always ask an expert at Ramsey, the same way you described the camping. I'm sure you have people walking into the store for the first time, so to speak, as a camper, saying to you, okay, Teresa, how do I? And you begin to explain the different components that they're asking, correct?
Absolutely. We can outfit you, whether you're an expert and you want to do backpacking, or you're a novice and you're going on a weekend for family camping. We can outfit you and help you, give you all the tips to have a safe and a really good time.
And I think those are the two things we look for, safety and enjoying life. So Teresa, I just wanted to thank you for your expertise today. And to me, the fall is the perfect time to go camping.
The bugs are going away and the air is crisp. It's great to hike and camp in the fall. My favorite.
Absolutely. So I thank you very much for coming on to the show today. And I will see you at Ramsey Outdoor.
Thanks. See you there.
Until next time, enjoy life's adventure.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.